Hello, and welcome to episode 70 of Cavalytics. Cavalytics is a show about the NBA champion Cleveland Cavaliers with a focus on statistical analysis. The Cavs have just lost a brutal Game 1 of the NBA Finals, 113-90 to the Golden State Warriors. Game 2 is on Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern on ABC. I am Keith Carter, a lifelong Cavs fan living in San Francisco, which has been particularly intolerable the last few days, and I'm not looking forward to work tomorrow. My co-host is Arnav Chabra, a PhD candidate at MIT, and more importantly to this show, a Cleveland Cavaliers expert. How are you doing, Arnav?
Not bad. What about you?
I'm not great, man. I suspected that you would be less negative about tonight's game than I would be, but I'm feeling really bad about the game tonight. I feel like a lot of the things I was worried about the Warriors were sort of true, and I feel like some of the explanations for optimism, like, well, this happened last year and the Cavs came back, I think those are sort of fallacies, and I think the Cavs had like maybe a 25% chance coming in, and now I think it's like 15 or maybe like 17 or something, but significantly lower than 25, and I'm bummed about that.
I will say this. There were a lot of things that they can do better. It wasn't just the Warriors being crazy hot.
Yeah.
Because like the 20 turnovers to the 4 turnover, like that's pretty much the game right there if you think about it.
Yeah, so can we investigate that a little bit? So yeah, so the Cavs had 20 turnovers and the Warriors had 4. So we're
That's
talking a little bit
turnovers, by the way,
in an NBA playoffs game or an NBA finals game. That makes sense. Yeah. So there's a turnover differential of 16. So 16 times, you know, I don't know what the math is here exactly, but 16 turnovers already. So the Cavs lost by 22, and the 16 turnovers, I think, can probably get that loss down to like 8 or something if the Cavs can just sort of like figure out how to save the turnover issues. Do you agree with that? Or
so, that and also that they didn't win the rebounding battle by more. I know they had more in the end, but it's the rebounding percentage that matters.
Yeah. I mean, the Warriors had, so the Cavs had 86 field goal attempts. The Warriors had 106 field goal attempts. The differential at halftime was 18, actually. That's not a good way to win a basketball game.
Yeah. That's basically that. I mean, the turnovers are basically the game, to be honest with you. Like, everything else can improve. Maybe not as much because there are some matchup issues that the Cavs need to figure out. But if they can control the ball better, that's the only chance they have.
Yeah. This happened. I'm going to do the thing that I just said that I'm annoyed by, but this did happen in game one last year. The Warriors were sort of cold and were a little bit rusty themselves. And the Cavs sort of had an opportunity to win, but they played so poorly that they lost by 15. They just weren't ready. So maybe that's sort of what happened today. Like, the Cavs shouldn't be getting out-rebounded. And the turnovers, especially by LeBron, so many of them were really sloppy. And live ball turnovers, which gives the Warriors a really excellent downhill possession. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm looking for reasons for optimism here. Maybe you could do a better job than me.
Turnovers are the reason.
I can go do reasons for pessimism. Klay Thompson was 3 of 16. That's not going to happen again. Draymond Green was 3 of 12. That's not going to happen again. Kevin Durant, as sort of awesome as he was only 14 of 26, which, you know, is a great offensive performance, but it wasn't wasn't outrageous.
That's pretty outrageous. I mean, he also had wide open dunks. So like,
yeah, he had, I don't know if he had any in the second half. In fact, I think he didn't, but he had 6 dunks in the first half, which tied a career high for him in regular season or postseason for a number of dunks in a game.
Yeah, I think it's a little disingenuous to say 38 on 26 or 29 shooting possessions isn't great.
It's great, but it's not like out of this world great.
He's
probably the second best small forward of all time, and he had a great game, and I think he'll probably, you know, he's not going to go 14 of 26, but
I don't I don't like playing these shooting percentage games, because then you can just be like, oh, Kyrie's going to be better, LeBron's going to be better, Kevin's going to be better. Like, they're all going to be better.
Yeah.
Like, they all have
to love. Yeah, and somebody's going to be getting is going to be the beneficiary of open cuts to the basket, right? And they were all Durant tonight.
And shooting percentages in general are very noisy from game to game, but what can be controlled are the rebounds and the assists and turnovers and stuff like that. Those things normalize pretty fast. Shooting percentage, I'm never going to try to play game like adjustment games with, but I can see how like turnovers can be controlled. Rebounds, I mean, Cavs were pretty okay. They block some shots, but yeah, LeBron was bad. I don't want to hear anything about shooting percentage from him.
Yeah, I mean, the box score, the superficial aspects of the box score are nice. He had 28 points, he had 15 rebounds, he had 8 assists, but yeah, he had 8 turnovers. And a lot of those turnovers were the sort that just kill momentum, and they were frustrating.
Ball turnovers, yeah. And those were turning into like easy baskets on the other end. Oh, another thing we should mention is their transition D was really bad. Like, Kyrie just couldn't match up half the time with his guy. I think JR basically, instead of defending the rim, went for Steph, which is like fine, but at the same time, you give up a wide open three instead of a wide open dunk every single time.
Yeah. Yeah, their transition D was bad. It was accentuated by the volume of transition D they had to play.
Yeah, because you're going to give up turnovers. It's hard to run back all the time.
And the Cavs shot 35%, 34.9% from the field. So there were lots of missed shots resulting in transition defense and the 20 turnovers, of course. So I think the optimistic case for the Cavs going forward has to be built around like, okay, well, they lost the first game. They were probably going to lose this game anyway. So if you don't view the sort of optics and the information we learned from this game, that they lost just by itself is not terrible. And then you sort of have to get to the exercise of explaining away this awful result and coming up with ways that the Cavs can sort of make it close. And yeah, it starts with the turnovers. And I think LeBron can play significantly better than he played tonight. Yeah. I mean, he was playing hard, but not well, which is different than that game 3 against Boston where he was.
I've said it before with him. He usually starts off slower, especially in the finals. First couple of games, he uses them to feel the other team out, and then he gets much better once he realizes how they're defending him, how they're defending in general, and how he needs to defend to be better. His defense was pretty poor too at that, honestly. Like, transition was pretty good, but one-on-one, I think a couple of times he slipped, which is fine. He went for too many steals, I thought. And then he was also caught in a couple of screens that I think they should have just switched, but they didn't.
Yeah, he got confused on Durant a few times or didn't play it quite right. I mean, it's tough. Look, when you get down big, it's really hard to sort of do the right things, right? Like it sort of has a tendency to spiral out of control. And this game certainly spiraled out of control tonight. How did you think about Kyrie Irving?
Oh, the worst of the big three, I thought. He was bad. And again, I don't want to hear about the shooting percentages because those look decent. 24. Actually, no, they don't, because it's 24 and 24 possessions. But his shot selection, I mean, he was unstoppable going to the rim, but then he just stopped going to the rim because he kept settling for those mid-rangers. And then after the first half, he just kept running into traffic for some reason. I fail to understand why he doesn't draw fouls near the rim. He should just stop, pump fake, and draw the foul. Instead, he went for like some ridiculous circus shots.
Yeah, I mean, part of his game is his ability to sort of wriggle around contact and put up these circus layups, but it does have a tendency to it probably lowers his chance of getting fouls called.
By a lot, yeah.
I agree. That's not going to change this this week, unfortunately. I mean, I feel like he was super excited. Like it started in the post game of game 5 against Boston. Like he's just sort of hopping up and down and super excited. And then I don't know if you follow the Cavs Instagram stuff, but you know, in practice, he's like, we know why we're here. And you know, he's like just bouncing all over the place. And even early in the game, he was sort of running all over the floor. So he was pumped up, but I think what pumped up means for Kyrie Irving is that he just tries to do the spectacular. And yeah, I mean, he had 4 turnovers, 2 assists. The turnovers were costly. He had a couple where he was trying a spin dribble and just lost the dribble, resulting in an easy 2s for Golden State. Look, we get criticized for criticizing Kyrie too much, but yeah, I thought of the big three, he played the most poorly tonight.
Yeah, I agree on that. I thought Love, again, didn't make any 2s, but other than that, I thought he was actually really good defensively, in my opinion. He was bothering Steph near the rim, and I don't think it's a surprise that he had the best plus-minus of the starters, to be honest with you.
Yeah, he had 15 points on 15 shooting possessions. His shooting percentage looks bad, 4 of 13, but again, the 15 points on 15 shooting possessions. 21 rebounds, that's pretty good. I think a lot of that, Tristan Thompson had only 4 rebounds. He had 1 at halftime. I think a lot of that was just the way the ball was bouncing. Like, I think 25 rebounds between Love and Thompson is probably a reasonable expectation going forward. And I think there was a little bit of luck involved there.
Also, the first quarter, they had 8 offensive rebounds, right? The Warriors, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
They ended up with basically only 14. So they only had 6 the rest of the way. I thought a lot of that had to do with just Love being a lot better on the boards. And some bounces not going the Cavs' way instead of the Warriors' way. But Love was, I thought, dominant defensively and on the boards. But offensively, he missed a bunch of shots near the rim. And that just can't happen.
Yeah. Agreed. He needs to be better offensively. His emergence as a, dare I say, mediocre rim protector is still really surprising. But tonight, 3 blocks again, lots of good hands up action, getting hands on the ball. It's good to see.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to look at, I guess, optimistic point of view, like that should be able to translate if you can see it here. What does, again, annoy me is that they keep going to him in the post when we established that before the series. Like, unless it's like Steph Curry on him, just don't do it.
Yeah, I agree. The Cavs always go to Kevin Love early, like the first 2, sometimes 3 possessions. It's frustrating. It's low efficiency.
This team, you can't give up free possessions. It's just simple as that.
I agree. But let's say you had to bet who will take the first shot for the Cavs in game 2. I think it's like 4-1. It's probably Kevin Love, like 80% chance.
Yeah.
It's crazy. They did that with Ilgauskas when he was around. It's frustrating, but I guess you just have to, subtract 1.5 possessions from the Cavs.
Another positive thing, if you want to see, is Kyrie shot 3 of 4 from 3. It's just, he missed so much near the rim and so many long 2s.
He had one particularly impressive 3.
The one in the 3rd quarter, sort of the left step thingy.
I can't remember. The one I was talking about was the one, the 4-point play where he...
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I remember that too. Yeah.
Falling to his right off and hucked play, it up. And it went in. It's nice that Klay Thompson didn't get hot. He took a shot in the 3rd quarter that sort of rattled out. And if that would have gone in... Yeah, I'm worried that whatever little mental thing is going through his head that's keeping him ice cold is going to just suddenly invert. But I don't think that inverted tonight. I think he's still probably in his head a little bit, and that's encouraging.
I thought they defended him well for the first half, but I thought in the second half he was just missing open shots.
He was. Yeah, I agree.
Draymond Green, I think they've done a good job on, to be honest with you. I think a lot of his threes were pretty far from the actual 3-point line. He was taking deep ones.
Yeah.
So I'm okay with that. I think they need to find the way. So Kyrie just has to be better on Steph. Steph got wide open threes for the most part, in my opinion.
Yeah. Boy, that might be the first time we've mentioned the name Steph Curry today. Yeah, so Steph had 28 points, made 6 threes, 10 assists, 6 rebounds, only 2 turnovers, 3 steals. He was dancing. He was smiling. He was absolutely infuriating. I'm not sure it's reasonable to expect Kyrie Irving to outplay Steph Curry, but he's got to be closer than it was tonight.
Yeah. And then, let's see. Nothing else was too significant, I thought.
Well, Tristan Thompson's box score is pretty empty. 0 of 3 from the field, only the 4 rebounds, 2 assists, and a turnover. Think the Warriors were doing something, or luck, or some combination of both? What do you think was going on?
I don't know. I need to watch film on him. because he just seemed invisible, to be honest with you.
He was just a non-factor.
It's not even the box score. I just don't remember him that much in the game. Like, I know, like, he missed a couple.
He only played 22 minutes.
Yeah.
Which is weird, now that J.R.
Smith was terrible. Deron Williams, I just don't know what the hell he was doing for the most part.
Yeah.
Deron Williams just looked a lot.
Yeah, I mean, as we get further down the box score, I mean, look, it wasn't just the big three that played poorly. I'm trying to find someone who had a decent game. You know what? Jefferson played pretty well.
Jefferson looked okay. He like, slipped a couple times, but, like...
He did, yeah, he slipped twice.
Yeah.
But, you know... Kevin Durant has a tendency to make people look bad defensively.
Yeah. Dante Jones looked better than I've seen Iman Shumpert look ever. So that's that.
Yeah, Shumpert was frustrating.
It's not a compliment. It's not a compliment. Don't worry.
Yeah. Shumpert. They're going to stick with Shumpert.
It's funny because he gets wide open shots and he doesn't realize why he's getting that. He will actually take the shot.
Shumpert?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's funny. I mean, he'll start at the 3-point line and then he won't want to take that. So then he'll dribble it in two steps and there's still nobody on him. And then he decides to huck it up. And it's because he's bad at shooting.
There's a perfectly reasonable reason why they're leaving you wide open.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's nuts.
His job should be standing in the corner and just taking corner threes. That's the only thing I'm okay with him doing. And
There was a possession in the fourth quarter where the Cavs were down 20 or whatever, and Shumpert was in the game, and LeBron, for whatever reason, was still in the game. I guess you don't want to give up at that point. It was fairly early in the fourth quarter, and LeBron just stood above the break on the weak side of the floor, and Shumpert dribbled for 22 seconds and then took a deep two. It's like, ugh, this is... sort of inexcusable. If you're gonna flush the game down the toilet, that's fine, but get LeBron out. I don't know if you know, I'm sure you didn't notice this because I think you weren't in front of a TV, but at the end of the game, as the Cavs were coming into the tunnel, LeBron was walking down the hallway and his head was sort of slumped, and then I can't remember if he clapped his hands, but he kind of stopped, he turned around, he improved his body posture, and he high-fived every single player coming by
on the
on the way to the locker room. I thought it was a pretty encouraging thing. It was he was bummed momentarily, but he's look, I gotta, be better. Everyone's gotta be better. And me skulking around the locker room isn't gonna help that. I'm projecting a little bit. This is what I hope he was thinking, but I mean, that's what his body language seemed to say. And so I liked seeing that.
For all his three championship rings, he's always lost the first game. Not saying that's going to continue or whatever, but first games in general tend to be more feel out for him, just from what I've seen.
Yeah, he's 1-7. This is his eighth finals appearance, and he's now 1-7 in game ones.
The question is the game two now becomes very important, because believe me, I know Cavs fans are talking about how they came back from down 2-0 or whatever, and down 3-1. Those odds cut down a lot because they have a buffer in Kevin Durant. So even if, let's say, Cavs play perfectly after that, Cavs may just lose a couple of games because how good Kevin Durant is.
Durant might go 8 of 10 from 3, or Steph might go 8 of 10 from 3.
Because of those guys, you can play perfectly and still lose, which is why you can't give up a 2-0 lead. So next game becomes very, very crucial. And I hope they adjust and sort of settle into this series instead of... Because they just looked uncomfortable for the most part. The Warriors were more physical. They were putting in more effort on the boards. They were doing a much better job, obviously, controlling the ball.
Yeah. So, okay, let's say you thought the Cavs... So coming into the series, let's say you thought the Cavs' chance of winning game two was X percent. How much lower than X percent, or do you think it's any lower based on the result of today? Do you think it's exactly the same based on the result of today? Do you change your prior at all?
A little bit. Yeah, I think it's a little lower just because I think it's just because of how good Kevin and Steph looked. That's pretty much it. Because last year, even though Cavs lost the first couple of games, their main guys didn't look that good.
Right.
While they were losing them. So there was always hope that Cavs could figure things out while their main guys sort of stayed cool. But if their main guys are shooting and scoring this well. Now, some of it can be cut down, right? Like, we're basically going to need LeBron to be dominant on both ends of the ball, not just one. He's going to have all-time series.
Yeah, that's right. I bumped my expectation down a little bit for game two, but not as much as I was thinking earlier. Like, the Cavs lost tonight and they got beaten soundly, but the things that they did wrong are things that I think they can actually improve in short order.
Right. So the first half, I think Cavs can totally improve on, right? Like, I thought Cavs should have been up. If they were down by 8, that's fine. But I thought outside of turnovers, Cavs had actually played pretty well. The second half is the part that sort of scares me, because I think coming out of the halftime, basically, the Warriors looked dominant and the Cavs just kept turning the ball over and over again. Right. And they just couldn't make anything at that point.
Yeah, that was demoralizing. You can partially explain that away by saying, like, well, maybe they were... Yeah, who knows? This is wildly speculative. It's not good. Like, it's not looking great right now. But, you know, there's still...
That's okay. Still
a chance here in game two. Yeah, Kyrie needs to be better. James needs to be about the same, but he needs to take out the turnovers. And, oh, yeah, I did want to talk to you about this. Okay, so they started with James on Durant, and that went poorly. And then they switched, and they had Thompson on Durant later. I don't remember what they did with James. Got a little bit muddied because... the Warriors went to the death lineup at some point where they had Draymond at the five. And then at that point, the Cavs had, I don't remember what their exact lineup is, but Tristan was not out there. With the death lineup, I think the Cavs have to choose between Love and Thompson, and they chose Love. And maybe that's what they'll do going forward. But yeah, those are just sort of a couple interesting lineup things. And I wonder if going into game two, the Cavs will not put James on Durant early. Maybe they could put James on Draymond Green, which would allow him to roam a little bit more. I'm not sure. Do you have any thoughts on that?
I think they have to put him on Durant just because not one other person looked like they could stay in front of him. And he's going to have to be better on Durant too. So I just don't think.
Yeah. Okay. Else. So I guess my thought there was like, look, if James is going to let Durant go off, then why waste him on Durant? May as well put somebody else on Durant who can easily let Durant go off and put James in a place where he can be more effective defensively. But I think what you're saying is, well, okay, yeah, maybe that, but James can be better on Durant, and right, that might be a better strategy.
And that plus, I think if he can limit his turnovers, because Durant got a lot of his points straight up in transition, right?
And yeah, it's like a bazillion dunks.
Yeah, exactly. So like if they can cut out the turnovers, like his stat line doesn't look as good. You know, they start pressing more, they start ISOing on LeBron more. Like things can have a very, you know, a very rolling effect. So if you can fix one part of your game, everything else can also look better too. So
yeah, there's a cascade. It's funny, this sport, you know, you watch a game and you can get so down and everything looks hopeless, but
yeah, I mean, like Cavs got blown up by 45 and then came back and won by 30, right? Like it's just,
yeah,
this game is interesting in that sense. Cause like, it's hard to realize just how one part of the game affects the other.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a complicated system. And modeling it is very, very, very difficult. So, yeah, I mean, I guess I would expect the Cavs to be much closer, but to still lose game two. But
yeah, I mean, they will be favored, obviously, but if they can at least learn some things, learn some lessons from tonight that they can hopefully use, maybe they win game two. And if they don't, then at least to use in games three and four.
Yeah, I mean, even if they lose game two, I would like them to lose game two in a way similar to the way they lost game four last year. So yes, they lost game four, but you could tell that the Cavs had like sort of, especially in retrospect, but you could tell that the Cavs had figured some things out and
who to play, who not to play. Cause like that was the game where basically Channing Frye was cooked by Steph. And then after that, he just lost all his minutes.
Right. Yeah.
They're just running low on wings right now, right? Like if J.R. Smith isn't going to give you anything, Shumpert was never going to give us anything. Kyle Korver missed his threes. Jefferson, I mean, he still kind of looks slow. Then like, Who are they going to have on the wings besides LeBron?
They could try running 4-on-5. They could try, what was it, the owner of the Kings that suggested just have one guy stand on the other side of the court? I mean, jokes aside, JR, look, you have to hope that at least one and hopefully two of JR, Kyle Korver, Darren Williams, Iman Shumpert, and Richard Jefferson play better than they did tonight, because they were all really bad. Let's see, they were a combined 17. They were combined 3 of 17. Is that right? Holy smokes. Or 6 of 23, if you include Jefferson in that. Yeah, that's bad. If they're going to be awful defensively and awful offensively, it makes it tough for the Cavs to win. Maybe the Warriors will like get smug going into game two. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's not going to matter if the Cavs don't stop turning the ball over, though.
Right. Yeah, I mean, look, if you're going to hand it to Kevin Durant sprinting in the other direction, it's tough to win.
So many wide open dunks. Like, that's the thing. Like, if they could have had the lead going into the half, if they had just played a little better in the first half, like, who knows? Maybe they don't go off in the third quarter, but it's hard to say.
Yeah, I mean, it's incredible. I mean, these guys are all professionals, and you would expect them to be able to sort of intellectualize away momentum and sort of play the same all the time, but they just don't. They're human as well, and right. Momentum is a huge thing, and once it starts...
I know people like to talk about momentum in series. I don't buy that, because I think...
Oh, I don't either.
...to another, but I think within the game, yes, I totally buy it.
Yeah. So yeah, like once things started slipping, the Cavs weren't able to get a surge to get it back under control.
Yeah.
Well, this has been a really, really uplifting episode. Do you have anything else you want to add, Arnav?
No, we'll be back after game two.
Okay. Hopefully with a slightly more positive vibe. Otherwise, we can maybe write some jokes and read those for the last 5 minutes. Anyway, all right, so that's going to wrap it up for this episode of Cavalytics. You can email us at cavalyticsnba@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter at cavalyticsnba. I think I might have been a little bit too dark in the last 20 minutes of today's game. I apologize for that. I'll try to be better going forward. Not sure if I'll be able to pull that off. Anyway, game two is Sunday night at 8 p.m. Eastern. Thanks for listening, and go Cavs.